We went to on Saturday the Louisville City FC game here, and they are like actually really good, evidently. They've won like two of the USL Championship Cups, which is like the league right below the MLS. And they were playing this game that was neck and neck the entire game, and in the like overtime minutes or whatever it is, extended period or whatever, walk off goal to win the game. It was the most electric thing. There were like a little over 10,000 people in the stadium. Like it was a blast. So now I am a Louisville City FC fan.
Oh, good. Another sport to draw a metaphor from that I will not understand.
Yeah.
I did my fair share of soccering as a youth.
Yeah. Excuse you. Football?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, bruv. It's football, isn't it?
I'm trying to think, how do we tie a fairy tale thing into what we were just talking about?
Oh, okay. So here's another great movie that I love to summarize. It's a movie called Shrek. And the whole point of Shrek is that there's some sort of green guy, and he has a talking horse for a friend, and also he falls in love with a hottie, but she's also ugly, so he feels better about his insecurities, and then they fall in love, and that's that's Shrek. And also there's a height challenged person who gets very angry at them.
Do you know the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man? The Muffin Man!
Did you know that they named him Farquaad because audibly it sounds like the word fuckwad?
Yes. Honestly, Shrek is so amazing. Like great movie.
Speaking of fairy tales, though, wow, what a great transition that happened naturally. And we also, speaking movies. Of great transitions, welcome everybody. This is the Mind Sculptors. Is Ian?
Yeah, we're just flashing it on the stack. Welcome everybody to the Mind Sculptors. There's the set out that as we're recording this, it's not officially out, although because special. You've got to see the set already, so you know. Not me, not the other half of our team. I think it's funny. So the set has come out, as not yet though, but it will by the time that you're seeing this, because remember, we're in the past.
We're in the past. So by the time you're seeing this, it will have just been pre-release weekend, which is not technically when they can sell things, but you can sort of buy things.
They can start selling it as a pre-release now. They changed that with Brothers War? Brothers War.
How does it become a release then if the product's already able to be sold?
Listen, it's the same bullshit as how like movies come out on Friday, but you can go see it Thursday at noon. Like the release date is September, whatever, but you can actually see it a day before and like whatever time, because,
but it's not released yet,
but it's not out yet. You know, it's opening night at noon on a Thursday.
Silliness.
But yeah, so we've got Wilds of Eldraine. One interesting note about the set is it is considerably not as buck wild bananas as the first one.
The Throne of Eldraine, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it is much more like there's still a lot of really strong cards in the set, but it's not like
There's a lot less Okos, you know?
There's a lot less Okos, a lot less Once Upon a Times and yeah. Mystic Sanctuaries and stuff like that.
I almost forgot about Once Upon a Time. What a card.
That card was legal. That card was banned before Oko was.
Mm-hmm.
It was legal for like 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yep.
Turns out free spells at the beginning of the game is really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've got some cards here. It looks like 17 on the list. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go through them here for you and talk about some of them. And the first card on our list, it is an A, but it did not. This was not on purpose that it is in this order. And that's Agatha of the Vile Cauldron. Mm. Agatha costs a red and a green. It's a legendary human warlock. That is a 1/1. And it says activated abilities of creatures you control cost X less to activate, where X is Agatha's power. This effect can't reduce the mana of that cost to less than 1 mana. Also has a second activated ability that is 4 generic, a red and a green. Other creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain trample and haste until end of turn. That is effectively costing 5 mana because it reduces itself.
Mm-hmm. Those other creatures.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that part of it you're saying.
Yeah. So because the card itself just makes itself cost less. So Agatha of the Vile Cauldron, it's another what's the blue green one, the
Biomancer's Familiar.
Yeah, Biomancer's Familiar. It's another training grounds,
a little worse but
you know, what are your thoughts on Agatha? Like it's interesting in some regards.
Yeah, I like it specifically in like a Kenrith deck, just because Kenrith can then just, as soon as it comes down, Kenrith converts every green mana to my activated abilities cost X less, right?
Right.
I don't like it the head of a commander. Like, I think that's probably not where this card goes. I think there's probably some nonsense you can do with activated abilities decks, but I can't really see it.
In Gruul, I can't think of like what you're wanting to do.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. So I definitely think it's a 99 card. I am not a huge fan of it outside of Kenrith, and even in Kenrith, I'm just kind of like, nah, that's a card. Like, But yeah, it's an interesting effect. I just feel like there's something with it that will make a lot more sense later, but right now it's just okay.
I mean, I think the ability to the like it scales the power ability, like the how, like, so if you pump it with the Kenrith ability, right? Mm-hmm. Like it just continue, like it kind of,
yeah,
it exponentially, I don't think is the right word, but it just kind of keeps costing less.
I do like it in the slower Kenrith decks too, because in that circumstance, like Kenrith's already kind of a win con in the command zone, right? But this becomes like a real clear one where you're just like paying green, red, and like sending everyone in for smackdowns is like the 2/0 in haste, right? Or the 1/1 in haste.
Right.
It's just like, it adds up, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think it's a cool card. You know, I remember I got a message about it as, what do you think about this as a commander? And I'm just like, what in Gruul cares about this effect?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's cool. I think it's interesting. I don't know. Maybe it's a card that if in a slow Dawn Waker deck you care about, but I don't think so. But you know.
No, Dawn Waker is trying to do the opposite right now.
Yeah. Well, let's look at the next card on our list. The next card is a card I'm actually super excited about, because it is an upgraded, what's the 2 minute Open the Armory. It's an upgraded the Armory. It's actually just strictly better Open the Armory. Mm-hmm. And that's Kellen the Fey-Blooded. It is a human fairy 2/2 that costs 2 generic and a red. That is also an adventure. The adventure part of it is Birthright Boon. That is a sorcery. That's a search your library for an aura and equipment or equipment card. Reveal it, put it in your hand, then shuffle. And then Kellen itself says double strike and other creatures you control get +1/+0 for for each aura and equipment attached to Kellan the Fey-Blooded.
Yep.
So this is like really strong, obviously, like right out of the command zone, having the tutor target
right
in the command zone is really strong.
Yeah.
Outside of that, like what are your thoughts on this card? I know I'm probably going to be testing this in Arden decks to see exactly if it's just strictly better open the armory in that slot. Right. Cause we don't play open the armory, but it's interesting to see if it's worth playing this. Sure. What are your thoughts on Kellan overall?
So there was like a period of time where I know Dawnmaker specifically, we were like looking really hard into, well, I mean, like Swift Reconfiguration, right? Obviously, is like a really good win con that like has no tutors except for Wargate, right? And then there was talks about people who are playing like both Freed from the Real and Swift Reconfiguration and Dawnmaker at the current moment. And for those type of decks, I was always like, okay, Open the Armory is really good, but like it doesn't have that redundancy to it. And a second Open the Armory is like exactly what we were talking about needing for that deck. So if there is ever like a more aura focused version of that sort of pile, right? Like I think that's a really good way to do it, especially when you don't have access to black. The other thing is like there's stuff in lower colors where you're really happy to have like another way to like grab something like a Splinter Twin if you're focusing on TKG style combos and things like that. So I don't think it's like the most impactful card from the set by any means, but I do think it's strong and it does what it needs to do.
It's neat with Sunforger too, because you can just like go grab Sunforger and then like cast most of your deck, which is really neat. Yeah. I like Kellan also in the what's the red white dwarf that I'm blanking on all of a sudden that Reed plays.
Cole.
Yeah, Cole. I think it's interesting in Cole, like as another. You know, tutor more redundancy in that deck is always a good thing.
Absolutely.
It's just like a really sweet card to see get printed. It's a very interesting. I didn't think about it in Dawnwaker as a way to get Swift Reconfiguration, but that's really neat. On to the next card. This is probably maybe up there for one of the strongest cards in the set. And that's Rowan, Scion of War. Rowan is a legendary human wizard that is a 4/2 that costs a generic black and a red. She has menace and has a tapped ability that says spells you cast this turn that are black and or red cost X less to cast, where X is the amount of life you've lost this turn and you can only activate as a sorcery. So obviously the activating only as a sorcery part is kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But the rest of that ability is really strong. like this feels like a you sneeze and it combos type of commander.
Yeah, no, I mean for sure. It's like obviously the implications with ad nause are like very, very strong, right?
Yeah.
Any card you get off of there basically only costs whatever colored pips it has.
Right.
Very strong with Necropotence, and like just it turns out red black is likes paying life a lot. These have been effects that are really good for a certain amount of time. So
get to play stuff like what is it? I can't remember card names today. What's the gives a creature haste that people played in Cody that costs one red?
Claim the Firstborn?
Yeah, Claim the Firstborn. Really good Claim the Firstborn deck.
Interesting. Yeah.
I'm
just giving commander haste, which is nice.
Yeah, like giving your commander haste. I mean, that was kind of the whole reason it was in Cody, right?
Well, in untapping Cody.
Yeah, untapping Cody also. But I think that's a similar thing in this too, where it's like because this ability does stack.
Right.
So you can just like untap it, get more, and just kind of like keep going and going and going.
Right.
It's interesting to see exactly how to break it. I'm sure this also seems really strong with like Bolas's Citadel.
Although, like, with Citadel, like, it it does the thing, but then like Citadel only cares about paying life anyway, so it's like
right.
It makes the cards in your hand cheaper with Citadel, which is cool.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Also really cool with cards like big payoffs like Razaketh and Broodlord and stuff like that. Like just really drop those down for like two mana is pretty nice.
I mean, like, there's a lot of cards where like this is a commander I look at and it's just like, oh, I'm just encouraged to play the most aggressive reanimate deck of all time. Cause you just get such a good payoff for it. Mm-hmm. Are there any decks that you think that would want to play it in the 99? Cause like I imagine like there may be, but I don't know off the top of my head. Like it feels like it could be okay.
But I think it's a build around effect. Yeah. I don't think it's a 99 card.
Yeah. Next card is the brother of our first one, and that's Will, Scion of Peace. And Will is all the opposite of Rowan. This is a 2/4, costs a colorless, a generic, a white and a blue. It's a human wizard as well that has vigilance, and spells you cast this turn that are white and or blue cost X less to cast, where X is the amount of life you gained this turn. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about this a little bit before the show, where it's like it is noticeably not as strong as Rowan, but that's also just kind of generically you are more likely to lose life than gain life.
Yeah.
But Will has, you had brought up some interesting like scenarios earlier on how you can really take advantage of Will.
Yeah, so like I like Will as sort of this weird like sort of like mid-range or stacks payoff commander, right? So there's a number of cards that are just like one white mana gain X amount of life, right? So like 4 or 5 or something silly like that, right?
Right.
And other effects that like do that with a marginal benefit, right? That have just like the life gain incidentally tacked on. And then there's a world where you just sort of play it like a big fatties deck where you just drop cards like Recurring Insight or Nezahal or Consecrated Sphinx and like just these insanely high value cards. And then just use Will as this like really crazy cost reducer, basically like you would do with a Grand Arbiter, but like times 3 or 4, right?
Right.
And then just like jam these giant permanents, then slowly like take over the game because of him. The idea being that like you just use him to just leverage a ton of advantage. And it's definitely like a deck where you'd have to like look at what ways can you best throw in some life gain without making your deck just like full of bad cards, right?
Right.
But I think it's probably doable, and there's definitely something to it.
Make Sarah Ascendant bananas, right?
Like, yeah, right. Sarah Ascendant really needed an upgrade. Yeah, it's been bad the whole time.
Yeah, it's been terrible. No reason to play that card. it's interesting. A card like Revitalize feels like it's interesting because it's like, okay, it's a cantrip.
Yeah, and you life plus benefit, right?
Yeah. Exactly. It's interesting because it's like blue white's in this place where I continually kind of have this question of, because I mean, you and I have both been brewing blue white for so long at this point that every time I see a new blue white commander, I'm like, okay, cool. How does this win the game?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's just like, unless you are really committed to doing like, because I've seen some people do like breakfast piles in Azorius, like it just kind of is hard to win the game. I don't know. I do think that it's an interesting effect. I don't know what it has to do with being the Scion of Peace. flavor wise, but you know, I don't know.
Don't knock it before you try it or something like that.
Right, I guess.
The one I was thinking about was Chaplain's Blessing. That's the one that's just like one sorcery, you gain 5 life. There's also a 1/1 called Cathedral Sanctifier, comes in, you gain 3. I'm literally looking at one drops that just come in and gain you much life.
I mean, like, Chaplin's Blessing in that regard is like effectively a it's like a dark ritual almost.
It better have it, argue.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah. I think if you're gonna build this deck, I think you have to look at your life gain effects as rituals. As
rituals. Yeah, yeah. And then I think that's exactly what they are, right? And
which is, like, it's fine. I think that's where, like, cards like Revitalize become, like, okay, because then it's like, okay, so it's like a pyretic or a, what is it, a Cabal ritual, or not a Cabal ritual, one of the red rituals with, like, a little bit of upside. And it's like, okay, mm-hmm. that's fine. Which is an interesting space for Azorius to be in.
Yeah, and there's like enough little ones that have like some incidental upside. Like there's one I'm looking at right now called Lucky Offering, which is like destroy an artifact with mana value 3 or less, you gain 3 life from Kamigawa, right? Like it's okay. Like, okay, cool, I'll snipe someone's mana grips, gain 3 life and use it as a ritual. You know what I mean? Like little things like that are like, okay, like sweet. You know?
The one thing I don't love about it is it does kind of, because of the, you can only activate it at sorcery speed.
It does restrict it for sure.
It does kind of make you have to main phase stuff.
It's very sorcery speed.
Yeah. But
also, like, with decks that are dropping cards like Nezahal and Consecrated Sphinx tend to be like that anyways, right?
So. Yeah. It's fine. And I guess if you're, like, reducing the cost a bunch, like, it's not a huge deal.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't know. Interesting. You have piqued my interest. I was originally not very interested in this card, mm-hmm. and since talking to you and looking at this more, I am now more interested in this card.
Okay, ready for the spicy tech with this deck?
Yes,
hit me. You play Zurin Orb, you sacrifice all your lands, like 6 life, and then you activate Will. But you float your mana first. Big brain.
So, friend, you played a little too much Gitrog in your life.
My thing is, I've never played Gitrog.
Yeah, that's Gitrog brain that I'm seeing there. That's mm-hmm. some squandered resources attitude if I've ever seen it.
You're not wrong.
Last commander we're looking at here is Talion. Did I say that right? Talion.
I believe it is Talion.
The Kindly Lord. It is costs mm-hmm. 2 generic. Blue black is a fairy noble that is a 3/4, has flying, and says, as Talion enters the battlefield, choose a number between 1 and 10. Whenever an opponent casts a spell with mana value, power, or toughness equal to the chosen number, that player loses 2 life and you draw a card.
This card's stupid.
I have heard this card is very good.
Card is stupid. Like, it is insane. I don't know if you know Max, but like, he's known for playing like Florian. He has, this is like his other deck that he's actually been working on for once in a while. I actually just did a deck tech that may or may not be out at the time of this recording on his list for this, and it's just very silly. Like, it's just like you end most turn rotations with like 15 cards in hand, and it's just like, yeah, like, I don't know. It's crazy. You name 2, apparently, is the number. But, Talion's, like, cracked.
Yeah, 2 seems like that's really good, because that hits, like, fucking Ragavan, even. Like, mm-hmm. that's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it hits, like, I'm just thinking off the top of my head.
All the tutors, Breach, Thoracle, Demonic Tutor.
Like, it also hits, like,
outside.
What's the black-green, mana dork that everybody calls a planeswalker. Hits Deathrite, like mm-hmm. it hits fucking like every spell I can think of.
There's a lot of, like, there's an argument to hit do one as well, right? Because like mm-hmm. you still hit Thoracle, you still hit Dockside, you still hit stuff like that, right? But like 2 also gets you Najeela, and it gets you Derevi, and
That does hit Najeela. Mm-hmm. This is kind of the type of card that I also think we talked about this last week with Mod, mm-hmm. where this kind of does, I think, a little bit more what I want Shieldred to do.
Yeah.
But it like definitely does more of that. And I think is like a really good card in those, that mm-hmm. type of like Shieldred-y spot.
Yeah.
Where you're just passively punishing your opponents and also gaining advantage. And I think the fact that it gives you like a tangible advantage is very nice.
Yeah, it's crazy.
where are you, like, what decks are you looking to put this in?
I think it's the commander for a lot of decks, but I also like this. Well, your actual conversation about Shielded reminded me, like, this is one of those cards that I think like actually has the chance of. So there's been talk in the blue farm community about, like, getting rid of Adnaz, basically, like adding a few more mid-range engines to just be like Tim Necrom mid-range, full mid-range, right? And
nobody has I've never advocated for that ever.
This is one of those cards that makes me think that might be a viable option, right?
Yeah.
Like, between One Ring and this card, like, it feels more and more viable every day. TNK mid-range with, like, Talion as a four drop feels like I can see that working.
I definitely think I'm gonna try this in Tivit too, because it's just like it fits into the, because like I said, we talked about this last week, it fits into that Notion Thief slot. And sure, you aren't stopping draw, but, like, that's fine. I think this is really interesting.
Good card.
The one question I've seen, because I've seen some people floating this around, is does this just mean that, like, there's no reason to play Nimrus anymore if you're playing Dimir control, or do you think that there is still reason enough to be playing Nimrus?
I mean, they're different decks, I think. Like, Nimrus is a flash deck that pays off in the fact that you don't ever have to fully tap out for your commander unless you want to, right?
Right.
I think it's just like a different beast entirely. I think I would argue Talion's probably better, but that doesn't mean that it invalidates the other deck. You know,
right?
I think it's probably the best blue-black option we have, but this is also like day zero of it being out, right?
Yeah.
So
we'll see. Hard to say.
I think this, I like blue-black control a lot, and so I'm really interested to see how this, like, goes. Yeah. But this is a really cool card. The foil on that card, foil pricing on that card is banana. Well, let's get into the non-legendary cards. The non-commander legendary cards. Next card on our list is Agatha's Soul Cauldron, which it costs 2 generic mana, is a legendary artifact, and it says you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to activate abilities of creatures you control. Creatures you control with +1/+1 counters on them have all activated abilities of all creatures exiled with Agatha, Agatha's Soul Cauldron. And then you may tap it to exile target card from a graveyard. When a creature card is exiled this way, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. So Kinnan just got a giant shot in the arm, right? Like, this is insane.
It's really good in Kinnan. It's just like, it's a Mirage Mirror equivalent, right?
It's cleaner than Mirage Mirror, isn't it?
It's the same.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Mirage Mirror is harder to explain to people, right? But, like, this is the same thing. The only reason, like, to keep Mirage Mirror in the deck, which I think I'm doing, is just the fact that with Trophy Mage, it gets you either half of your combo, which is kind of important. And then there's the argument of, like, okay, maybe just cut Trophy Mage. But... there's the whole other thing with that. But that, needless to say, this card is very good.
Yes.
It's very, very powerful. And it made Sisse better. It's making Kinnan better. I think it makes a significant amount of decks just kind of cleaner. I think you can play in Najeela too.
Yeah, I've seen people like testing this in Najeela and being like, this is also cracked.
There are 2 broken abilities on this card. They have nothing to do with each other. Like, I'm just talking about the first half of this card right now.
The second There's half a second is also half stupid. Of this card
that is fucking busted. That no one is like, I just feel like it's no one's talking about how insane it is that they're both like, this is my vote for the best card in the set by like
Think that's a competition.
It's like, it's so stupid. And like, okay, so the fact that the bottom half, right, you can be like, this is any graveyard. Just want to point that part out. It says any fucking graveyard. And
that's a nice Razaketh you got in your yard there.
Yeah.
Be a shame if I exiled
like,
that.
Yeah, for sure. Like, first of all, this like reinvigorates Ryazaketh, I think, a little bit. Like, this is just, it cuts the reanimates. It's so clean. But then the fact that you can be like, oh, you sacrificed your ranger captain of Eos. That's really interesting. Okay, I'm going to exile that out of your yard. And now my land of war elves is a ranger captain of Eos. Thank you so much for helping me out here. And I'm going to silence you, even though you silenced me. Nice try. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Or garbage, like, oh, okay, I'm going to sack it on end step to stop you comboing off. All right, on my turn, I'm going to play the cauldron, exile it, make this guy a ranger captain. And now I have a second one. It's just like, stupid, like dumb. And also, like, with decks like Sisse, you're like, oh shit, you killed my bloom tender.
Oh no,
play the cauldron. Now my bird's paradise is a bloom tender.
Oh, I guess I'll make my Sisse a bloom tender so it taps.
Yeah, my Sisse is a bloom tender too, right? Like, it doesn't have summoning sickness, by the way, because it's already been on the battlefield.
Yeah.
And then tap, I win, right? Like, it's dumb.
This actually in Sisse specifically, because it Sisse can just tutor this, like.
They can also tutor
this straight up.
I was talking about this with Malcolm, who just got a second top four with Sisse. It's like his main deck.
Yeah.
Or second top four of Major Eminence tournament, I should say. He's done other good stuff in the past. But he was like, yeah, you just, like, say you have a guy's Cradle out. You just, like, go get this with the first Sisse activation. You're like, okay, cool. Now I have a second one because Cradle can just tap into another Sisse activation. It's like all silliness.
The fact that you can play Cradle in Sisse now. Like, safely. Oh, you can always pick Cradle. Well, you can play it and it, like, doesn't, it's not as awkward.
Yes, it is not.
Like, you don't need to find a way to filter it. You just have Agatha's Whole Cauldron and you're just
like, yeah, no, this card's insane. Like, actually stupid. It also fixes, there was always a problem with, like, Kinnan plus Dehada would just make 8 mana, but it would be 8 that wouldn't allow you to activate. Right. But now, like, that whole thing is fixed off too. Like, it's just dumb.
Dumb.
Yeah.
I'm every time you said dumb to dumb, it made me think of that thing from South Park where
the Mormon one.
Agatha's Soul Cauldron was dumb, 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 dumb. Card is dumb. Probably the best card in the set. I think it's up there as, like, best artifact of the year so far.
Probably arguable.
Yeah. Card's really good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Next card on our list is Lycanus Looter. Don't worry, I'm going to cut that part from...
No, you're not.
I am. I'm going to put a cat right here, and I'm going to put a dog right here. And
now you're either going to have to leave it in or you're going to cut this entire section. So it's up to you.
Yeah. So Lycanus Looter is the next card on our list. It is a 1/1 fairy shapeshifter that costs a blue and a black. It has flying and has two different abilities. One, you tap to draw a card and then discard a card. And then the second one costs X, and Lycanus Looter becomes a copy of target creature card in your graveyard with mana value X, except it has flying and this ability. Activate only as a sorcery. I really hate that they're doing this activate only as a sorcery bullshit everything. It's so annoying. This loots, it becomes something that's in your graveyard. where is this really good, do you imagine?
So here's the thing. Like, I think there's been a lot of decks recently, that, especially like we talked about how the graveyards got a major upgrade with Hoarding Broodlord and stuff like that. Every time they print a 2-mana efficient looter with upside, like Vohar, like this card,
yeah,
like Jace the Prince Prodigy, the redundancy of these effects becomes so high and so high on card quality that it's like it becomes inevitable that something good comes out of them, right? And this one is just like one of the nicest ones they printed. Basically, it's like this and Vohar are probably up there for like Dimir looters, right?
Yeah.
It's just like they're both very insane effects, very powerful, and you know, just the ability to like copy a bothersome or very strong creature really right out of the way. Like, there's many scenarios in reanimator.
Well, they'll say your graveyard.
Like, yeah, it'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, but like, there's many scenarios in reanimator decks where like you just don't ever draw your reanimate, right? And then if you're flooding, you can just be like, fine, I'll pay 8 mana. It's a Razaketh now. I win the game. Like, right? Like, it's definitely a thing. You know, and the fact that it retains the ability is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think like it has a lot of potential, and it's just clean, efficient what it does. It's not breaking the format by any means, but like it's adding more redundancy to an effect that was already kind of needed. So
yeah, I like it a lot. It kind of reminds me of the Lazav from the return to Ravnica.
Yeah.
But like a little bit better. It's a very interesting card. I hate that it loses the looting ability when you activate it, though.
It keeps that ability. Except it has flying and this ability.
Yeah.
Oh, it loses the looting ability. Yeah,
it loses the looting ability, but it keeps the
copy. Yeah, ability. I don't know. I feel like that could be busted pretty quick.
Yeah, probably. But I don't know. It's, I like busted cards is the thing. Next on our list is Questing Druid. It is a generic and a green human druid. That is a 1/1 that says, whenever you cast a spell that's white, blue, black, or red, put a +1/+1 counter on Questing Druid. And it also has an adventure part of it that is Seek the Beast. It's a generic and a red instant that says, exile the top two cards of your library. Until your next end step, you may play those cards. So this red-green, a bit like card, feels like a card that is a green pip away from could have been in Prosper, but
yeah.
What are your thoughts on this card?
I just really like the fact that, so this effect has already been noted as being pretty good. Like we just said, like Ren's Resolve and stuff like that. It's a sorcery, exile too. And these are colors that struggle with card advantage in general. And the fact that this one's an instant is actually really nice. That's, I don't think it's ever been an instant before, unless I'm very unfortunately mistaken. So,
accurate.
Yeah. So with all that being said, I don't know. I just think the instant speed draw to in these colors is needed and strong. So,
yeah, it's neat. It's always good to see red, green get more tools.
Yeah.
Just makes Minsk better, right? moving on to our next adventure card, which is Scalding Viper. It is a generic in a red 2/1 elemental snake that says whenever an opponent casts a spell with mana value 3 or less, Scalding Viper deals 1 damage to that player. It also has the adventure side, which is Steam Clean, which is generic in a blue sorcery that says return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. So this is almost like a one-sided, like Eidolon of Great Revel. But also, like, it doesn't hit as hard, but it does have that ability, and also incidentally is a bounce card.
Yeah, I think it's just like enough generic upside. I did misread and think that the other side was an instant, so that's on me. That's my bad. But it's kind of a cool card. I do also like have to shout out that this is a Gearson Starn card, and I don't know that deck is the thing, but like if it is, this is a pretty cool thing. Yeah.
What is it? Doesn't Mike Bainey still play that deck?
Oh, I have no idea.
I know he used to work on Gearson, I believe.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite cards that I've never worked on. Like, it's a card that I look at and I go, cool. This card's awesome. I love this card. I should probably work on it sometime. And then I never do.
Yeah.
To be fair, there were so many cards that came out with that Warhammer set that I'm still like, oh, wait, I got to go back to that card.
The Warhammer set just has a lot of busted cards in it. We barely touched the surface in it when we did our set for review because we did the whole, like, is this an Agila card thing? No, this is cool. I've always wanted... I have this hot take where I think this and stuff like Eidolon of the Great Revel are way more playable than we think they are. I think like this, like I'm imagining like a Grixis control deck that just plays like this Shieldred, Talion, Eidolon of the Great Revel, like all every hate card in it. Just kind of wins by incidentally killing your opponents.
Perfect Blood Chief Ascension deck.
Sounds so good. Who would you make the commander for that? Like what? Kess maybe? Or maybe the four mana Nicol Bolas?
I don't know. This sounds like a Thrasvile thing to me because you already kind of want curiosity effects in this type of archetype, right?
Oh, yeah. That would be really good. This does work with curiosity.
It do.
That's really good. Does Eidolon of the Great Revel work with curiosity?
It do.
Dear curious control players, I have a proposition for you.
Dear Greg.
Dear Greg. next card on our list is an uncommon. It's Experimental Confectioner. Costs 2 generic and a black. Is a 2/3 human peasant that says when it enters the battlefield, create a food token. And whenever you sacrifice a food, create a 1/1 black rat creature token with this creature can't block. And the big thing with this is this, you need a food to start the chain, but this goes off with Peregrine Took, correct?
Correct. Yes. And it makes, what's the outlet for it? Does it make infinite damage in life?
I need to remember what Peregrine Took does, because it does a thing.
It draws your whole deck, right? Because Peregrine has a set. Peregrine.
Bless you.
I think there is... God damn it. Okay. You good? I think there is a food combo deck that has the potential of existing, because we have this, we have Samwise, we have Cauldron Familiar. And at some point, we're going to have so many overlapping food synergies between Lord of the Rings, Wilds of Eldraine, Original Eldraine. Like, all of these sets care about food.
Right.
And eventually, there's going to be enough overlapping creature combos that it's going to feel like a birthing pod deck from modern ages past, right? Where you're just like, oh, oops, I pod into the right one, and then boop doop 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 combo. Right.
I got the kitchen things. Better watch out.
Yeah, exactly. It's that type of level, right? So, do we have this combo yet? No. Is this something to pay attention to? Yes.
I have noted that it's like a new Hulk pile, this in Peregrine, because it does require that, like I said earlier, you kind of need a food to get going. But it is a food, like it is a Hulk pile that just kind of goes off.
That's your whole deck,
kind of nuts. I think this is really neat. I wish there were better commanders for food. You know what I mean? Because that synergized with it, because you're kind of stuck with, like, honestly, really, like, Frodo and Sam are, like, your best options. Or maybe Perry and Pippin, or Merry and Pippin, the Wardens of Isengard might be the good one for let me look.
Yeah, now I'm curious.
Because it's like, it feels like either of those partner pairings are like the option. You know what I mean? Like, why is...
Yeah, right. And people were like kind of sort of memeing, but also like playing the Frodo-Sam combo right when the set first came out. Right. So it's like, it's interesting.
Yeah. Like, Pippin and Merry seem like it might work really well, just because Merry also like adds to the combo a little bit.
Does it?
Well, whenever you sacrifice an artifact, it makes a 1/1. I guess that only triggers once a turn, but
enter the battlefield.
So it's like
Yeah.
You do get some incidental. Frodo might be better. I forget.
I think Frodo and Sam are probably better. So, you know, if you want to play Hobbit Food Hulk.
Hobbit Food Hulk. Somebody get Sick Robot on the phone.
This is magic nowadays, everybody.
Welcome. That's fine. Actually, don't mind Lord of the Rings that much because at least it feels like it's in the world.
It's still silly, though.
Yeah. That's an interesting combo. I wish I liked playing Sands Blue at all. is kind of the issue. I like counter spells.
I know. I just want to play more Hulk, but like it's in a weird spot right now, I feel like.
Yeah, it's like I get when people say they miss Flash because it made Hulk viable. But also, I don't miss Flash because
Flash sucks.
Yeah, Flash was not fun for anybody. Yeah. Next card on our list, Werefox Bodyguard. It is a 2/2 Elf Fox Knight that costs a generic in 2 white. And it has Flash. And whenever it enters the battlefield, exile up to 1 other target non-Fox, which was important, creature until Werefox Bodyguard leaves the battlefield. And it has a second ability that is an activated ability where you pay a generic and a white, sacrifice it, and you gain 2 life. There's an interesting thing that they did in this set where they gave you these sorts of cards that have a until it leaves the battlefield and then also stapled onto it a way for it to leave the battlefield, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, they did that with Boromir, too. And I wonder if that's just a design space they're going for.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I definitely like it, but they did it on like a lot more cards in the set. There's another one we're going to talk about. But this card definitely feels like it's an upgraded version of what's the card I'm thinking of? I mean, there's a bunch of effects like this, right?
Yeah.
Like 3 mana, enter the battlefield.
Like Fiend Hunter.
Fiend Hunter, yeah.
Yeah, well, the interesting part for me about this one is we're going to talk about a deck that I haven't talked about in a hot minute, but this is a really cool Winota card.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like just really solid at being like Flash removal, because like the whole problem has been all of the good Flash creatures for fucking Winota are humans. It's like we don't need the humans to have Flash. Yeah. We need the non-humans to have Flash so that you can Flash them in, have them interact, and then go to combat, right? Like Aven Mindsetzer has been the MVP of the deck for fucking years, right?
Which is kind of depressing. Which is kind of depressing.
Right. And so Werefox is like perfect. Like it's exactly what you need. It either A, clears the blocker you need to get in with your combat damage, right? Or B, it kills that problematic creature. And the whole point is like Winota can't interact with a lot of stuff. And here we go. Boom. Instant speed.
It gets rid of Dranith and then lets you get rid of Dranith long enough that you can put your Winota back out, swing with this, and then get rid of it so that Dranith comes back.
You can also just like I don't know exile a creature that's a giant pain in the ass, like anything Kinnan plays ever.
God, if only this had the like 2 different lines of text where you on it where you could stack the trigger so that you sacrifice it in response.
I think they did that on purpose.
I'm sure they did that. They did that a while ago where they fixed that wording. But it's still in my head just like, but imagine.
Although, like, that would be very fair, right? Like, 5 mana to exile one thing forever is, like, super fair.
Yeah, that's quite fair. And you gain 2 life. Although, like, the ETB ability being kind of hard to interact with is a thing. But, next card on our list, it is Blightwing Bandit. It is a 2/2 fairy rogue that costs 3 generic and a black and has flying and death touch and says, whenever you cast your first spell during each opponent's turn, look at the top card of that player's library, then exile it face down. You may play that card for as long as it remains exiled, and mana of any type may be spent to cast it. This was a card that I mentioned to you is something that feels really in these like blue-black Dimir control decks where they are, especially like a deck like Nimrus, where it's especially good there. Like
you want to cast a spell every turn.
Yeah.
Right? So like,
I mean, the ability where it just kind of exiles things permanently.
Yeah.
Is really good. Especially like imagine like somebody Imperial Seals and you're just kind of like, hey, that's mine now.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's the part I don't like about the card is how expensive it is.
Yeah.
It's a cost, right? Like that is absolutely that. But the rest of the card, pretty good.
Yeah. Very strong. Kind of reminds me of Opposition Agent in a way.
Yeah, it reminds me more of like a Wavebreak Hippocamp, but like
better. it feels stronger than Hippocamp, in my opinion, because the permanently exile, like it's just gone and you get to do that.
Yeah.
Forever. Like the ability is just there regardless of this, if this is there or not, if I'm reading this correctly. So really strong card, interesting in control decks. Next card on our list is Moonshaker Cavalry. That's right. They did, what's it called?
Color shifted crater hoof.
Ooh. Yeah, crater hoof, but white, and has flying instead of trample. That's literally the difference on the card is when it enters the battlefield, creatures you control gain flying in +X/+X until end of turn, where X is the number of creatures you control instead of trample. And it's a 6/6, costs 5 generic and 3 white. This is white crater hoof.
Like we've been relying on Elesh Norn for a really long time, right? As our finisher.
Yeah.
His color is white, right? Like, so it's like, it's just nice to have another one. I was working on a brew today. It literally was like, oh, you can play Sarah's Sanctum. You just channel all your Sarah's Sanctum mana into this thing. You're like, bonk.
Is this a one Nota card?
No.
Okay. but it does so well. Come on.
It's white. Nota.
It's white. Come on.
Every trigger's in
Nota. I mean, what are the decks that you see this like really liking it in?
Just like mono white stacks, a lot of it.
Yeah.
Green white stacks. Stacks.
So stacks. Okay.
Stacks.
Timna Kamal.
This could be a Lavinia card, not gonna lie.
Yeah, it could be a Lavinia card. The fact that it's a knight and not a soldier kind of sucks. Because that deck really likes having soldiers. Because it was very funny. I'm not gonna go on this rant too long, but you brought it up.
Famous last words.
Yeah. But it was one of those things when they like last year with Brothers War, they just kind of were like, here's a bunch of soldier synergies.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, hey, Lavinia's incidentally a soldier. That's convenient that here's a bunch of ways to just amass a bunch of board and their soldiers. So I guess we'll play soldier tribal and or typal. And it worked really well. And I could see this playing in that. The only issue is getting to the 8 mana. But I guess you could like that's a really good hit off of an Omen Machine.
Mm-hmm.
So. Let's move on to the enchantment section here. We have Hopeless Nightmare, which is a cost 1 black. And when it enters the battlefield, each opponent discards a card and loses 2 life. And it also says when it is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, scry 2. And it again has that, werefox ability where you can sacrifice itself. And it's literally just 2 colorless and a black sacrifice, Hopeless Nightmare.
Yeah, it's just there for limited, right?
Yeah.
This card is efficient, is the kind of the point. They are making more and more of these effects, and I've found them to be very underrated for a really long time in CEDH. I don't know when we're going to finally have a critical mass, but between this card, Vicious Rumors, Burglar Rat, the one from Kamigawa Neon Dynasty, like there's all these like 1 and 2 mana spells that just each opponent discards a card, and it's like at a certain point I think there's going to be like a Timna or Tevesh style deck that is just like black white or early those colors and just hand shreds the shit out of people,
right? It definitely feels like the more of these come, the more like Liliana the Veil gets playable, right? Like
I think Liliana is not a card that translates well into CEDH, if I'm being honest. Just because like she's symmetrical in every way that counts, and it's like her sacrifice thing only hits one person. Like
I will say, I do think the like if you have a deck where it's you're playing all these discard effects that aren't symmetrical, that are asymmetrical and not targeted, I do think it makes it better because you're not getting hit off of it as hard, and you're probably playing a deck that wants to discard something anyway.
Right.
But I don't know. I think there is somewhere for it, but yeah. I don't know. It's I like that we're getting more of these because I've always wanted there to be like a deck that basically just has like a bunch of Thoughtseize, a bunch of Inquisition, and just goes for it. And we've never really had anything like that in EDH because it turns out that targeted hand disruption is really bad.
Yeah, but especially with the creature ones, it's really nice in a deck like Timna Tevesh, right? Just because like you get to, or any sort of Tevesh strategy, right? Because you can then just like sack them to fodder for like cards with Tevesh after you like shred your opponent's hand, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's like you hit them, you made them all discard. It's like effectively discard three, draw two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems decent. Next card on our list is a card that if I ever lose to this card, I will take it and I will be happy about it. And that's Food Fight. It is a generic and a red enchantment that says artifacts you control have cost two generic, sacrifice this artifact ability, and it deals damage to any target equal to one plus the number of permanents named Food Fight you control. So this is like an infinite mana outlet, right? Like it's.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is a Dockside outlet for sure. I have it in there as a control piece, to be honest. I think like in any red Malcolm deck, the ability to just be like, all right, cool, I'm going to pay two mana, sack a treasure, and shoot a problematic creature for two. Like I literally just played against Malcolm File Smasher this last weekend, and they had Mayhem Devil plus two pirates and Malcolm. And it was just like this, they completely dominated the game.
Yeah.
Just because anytime anyone would play anything, it was like Winona and Najeela Kinnan, right? So we were all like,
fuck.
Exactly. Right. So I just think Food Fight has the potential to do that, just to like lay down the board, control it a little bit. And it doesn't have to be the best card in the board, right? But like in a Dehada style deck and maybe a Malcolm style deck, right? Like I think that this just sort of converts into some board control.
Yeah. And then also it's just a infinite treasure outlet on top of that, which is kind of nice. Because I definitely, this is definitely reminiscent of a card like, you sack a goblin or you sack a creature.
Goblin Bombardment?
Yeah, Goblin Bombardment. Like it definitely has like some of that vibe to it, but I know it, like you have to pay two colorless to do it, but it still feels better. Just because you're giving, it's, you can't make this stop working. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, which is really nice. Next card on our list is Virtue of Knowledge. It is a four generic and a blue enchantment that says if a permanent entering the battlefield causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. And then it has an adventure side, which is Vantress Visions, which is an instance that costs a generic and a blue. Copy target activated or triggered ability you control. You may choose new targets for that copy. This is an interesting card. Where do you see this falling? Like I saw this and I was like, this definitely, because my initial thought to it is, because anytime I see copy, I immediately think of Kirk and Sakashima, but I think this is probably better somewhere else, right? Like,
I think it's so like the decks with like big activated abilities like Sisay and Kinnan, this kind of like sticks out to me with, right? Like I'd pay two mana for another Sisay activation or another Kinnan activation any day of the week, right? And then like it's weird because it's like a double ETBer on the front side,
right?
I don't know if it's ever going to be actually good enough to do it, but I feel like there's a lot of very, very strong activated abilities in the format, right?
Right.
And there is definitely something to be said that like there is going to be a card flip over that is like worth it, right? Or like activated that's, that's worth.
Does this double Dockside or no?
Yeah,
I thought it did. Okay,
the trigger ability.
Yeah.
It's Dockside doubler, therefore infinitely playable.
Yeah, perfect. There you go, guys. It's perfect. You can play it. I think it's interesting. I don't know. Five mana is a lot for that, though.
I'm mostly looking at the instant part of this.
Yeah, I think the instant is definitely playable. I guess like, I don't know. Is it only to say that you would care about this, or
I could see it being played in Don Wicker, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, especially because I don't mind laying it down for the five part on Don Wicker, just dropping a double fucking dockside any day of the week. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see where this ends up going. I'm a little more skeptical of this one.
Yeah, it might not see play at all, but I just think like it might be one of those cards people try and they're like, oh, it's kind of cracked in these scenarios, and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
yeah. Well. The last card on our list is a card that I know for a fact is going to be cracked and will 100% be going into the, and that's Beseech the Mirror. That is a generic and three black sorcery that has bargain, which says you may sacrifice an artifact, enchantment, or token you as you cast the spell. And it says search your library for a card, exile it face down, then shuffle. If this spell was bargained, you may cast the exiled card without paying its mana cost. If that spell's mana value is 4 or less, put the exiled card into your hand if it wasn't cast this way. So, obviously in Tivit, it's just kind of like you play Tivit and then you cast this, sacking the clue, and hey, look, you've got your win. Where else do you see this being good? Because this is just kind of like a generically good card.
Yeah, I think you need some sort of consistent artifact, enchantment, or token creator, mostly right. Token creator in the command zone. So my instinct is like any deck that has incidental tokens. So I'm thinking things like Majila, like Malcolm, like Tivit. Those are the kind of places I see this scene play. And in those decks, it's very good at what it does, right?
Yeah. So. I mean, this in Najila just is like, oh, hey, ho, ho, ho. Yeah. I'm going to go get a Derevi. In my head, there was going to be like a thing after Derevi where it like made it rhyme. Uh-huh. And then it just was like, nope, don't have anything.
Hey, ho, ho, ho. That's where we ended it. No notes. Perfect landing.
I mean, I was trying to think of something was like.
No, I mean, you put in the effort.
It was very much Snow White. You know.
Yeah, hey, ho, ho, ho. I get it.
Yeah, you know. This seems really good, though. I'm very excited for this card. I also think this is a card potentially that gets played in Crick because it just, you know, is like another Beseech the Queen that is incidentally better.
Agreeable for sure. I think also like some of the argument people have been saying is like, oh, this is hard to cast, and I was like, well, the card Dark Ritual exists and Cabal Ritual exists, right? So like that helps that problem a lot, right?
The other thing is people don't say that about like Necropotence, right? Like it's this is arguably better than that in some regard. Like, I mean, it's a tutor that also just casts the thing. Like it's Dark Petition slightly better, Dark Petition almost. This just feels like this is really good. I don't really see the arguments for it being bad. Like, I imagine this in Najila is just really fucking good. It's a really strong card. So all right, so we've looked over this set on a scale of Fallen Empires to Urza's Saga. Where do you put this?
I don't know. This is like it's a decent set, right? It's got some powerful cards in it. I think its effects on 60 card are actually gonna be way more than its effects on multiplayer. Like there's like even like the Bunnicorn is like a card that gets the power for every non-land permanent. It's like the thing gets out of hand insanely fast. That's 60 card, not the focus of today. I think it's like a decent set. I think you know, there's a couple cards that are really worth looking at. It's definitely one of those sets where it's like there are a few kind of busted cards that we have to like digest and see just how broken they are. There's a lot of cards in the set that I'm like, this is good in this archetype, but it's not worth talking about on a set review.
Yeah, there were a lot in there, and when I was going through the set list, or where I was just like, oh, hey, that's a card for Like that's a coin flip card. Hey, look, Kirk Takashima got another card.
Yeah.
And it's like, just like
a lot of Yuriko cards in this set too. Evasive Flyers plus a bunch of stuff that's like you know, high CMC because it has an adventure aspect, right? So
yeah, it's super solid. I also finally understand why certain things are Yuriko cards. I was really confused because I was like, wait, why is this a Yuriko card? And I was like, oh, yeah, it's because it's big CMC and in blue black. Yeah. Okay. Interesting set overall. I think for me, it's not quite it's not a Born of the Gods, you know, it's not quite that bad. But it's also not a Eldraine all, you know, complete. So I think I would put it somewhere closer to like Kamigawa Neon Dynasty. If I were to rate it.
Wait, isn't Kamigawa like considered one of the best sets of all time?
Neon Dynasty?
Yeah.
I don't know that I would say it's one of the best sets of all time.
It sold like it was one of the best sets of all time.
Well, that's because it was just a really cool set, in my opinion. I don't know from a power level perspective.
Sure. I think Kamigawa is way stronger than this set. We got the channel lands. Like
yeah, that's true. I kind of forget that those are in Kamigawa.
They're kind of like the thing from that set.
Yeah, they also feel like they've been around a lot longer than that set too, and like not just a year. I don't know. Interesting. Well, that's it for the set review. As far as stuff going on with us, by the time this has come out, we would have just been at SCG Columbus. How did you like SCG Columbus, Ian?
I don't know. We're in the past, Dylan. Nice try, Time Wizard.
Trying to fuck you up. It's his Teferi over here. Interesting stuff. What events you got coming up? What's on your agenda for the month of September, my friend Ian?
Oh boy, I have no free weekends the entire month.
2 weeks in a row you've done the Morty voice for this portion. Oh boy, Rick.
I think that portrays my level of tired and anxiety. Yeah. But yeah, no, I have Columbus, and then I might be doing the online Mox Masters. Then after that, we're doing the bonfire event with Eminence. It'll be fun, and the books should come out to that, and we still haven't ironed out the details, but I will be having a big part in the 64 person CDH tournament, whether it's casting or something like that. It'd be really cool. And then a bunch of other stuff. I'm gonna be at Vegas. Really cool.
Pongo's gonna be at Vegas, so there'll be y'all can see two sculpty boys at Vegas.
True. Yeah, and then October is like the big tournament month too. So yeah, after this one, obviously.
October has both. It has both the Mox
LotusCon
Mox Masters Invitational. I believe isn't Silicon Dynasty 2 in October? Or is that November?
No, that's this month.
Oh, that's this month. Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Oh yeah. I should say that here. I'm looking for sponsors for Silicon Dynasty 2. So if anyone wants to get me out there,
same here. Same here.
Brand the West Coast.
Mine's not very good, but if you want me to go out there and yell about your brand, let me know.
Yeah.
Because I'll do it. Very much willing to do that. Same for any event. You want to show up? Just let us know, and we'll do it. As far as me, like I said, we'll be at SCG Con Columbus, trying to figure out if maybe coming to the bonfire is viable or not, but haven't really crossed that bridge too deeply past that.
Yeah, we got to worry about this weekend first.
You know what? I don't know. This is a weird way to end the show. I don't know what to end the show on. We can just say bye.
Okay, hear me out. I do this new thing, right?
Okay.
Where I, in the middle of my set. I'm trying to keep, yeah, all these memories.
Stay overhead. Don't wanna keep this going. Can't fix what's already broken. Yeah.